time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and a big good morning to all of you. Welcome to another day. It's, boy, the day after Christmas? It is, isn't it? Oh, have you had enough candy? Oh, my goodness. I ate candy till it came out my ears. In fact, I got a couple of pieces in my pocket right now. And let me see. What? Oh, yeah. My youngest grandson gave my wife a fossil, and I've got it in my pocket. I wonder what happened to it. Okay, so if she... And then I got something different. Now, I've had chocolate-covered roasted coffee beans, but you go to crunch them, and you know, you get all these little tiny pieces in your mouth. But now, yesterday, I got something different. They look like, just a second. Had to pop one there. They're a latte candy made with Sumatra coffee beans. And by George, they're good. And they're, I don't think that the shell of a bean is there. I think it's all very chocolatey or coffee-tasting bean. Or whatever, you don't have to crunch it like you do the others. You crunch them and then your system ends up in a whole bunch of fine chunks. But this is good. Okay, now today I'm going to be using a book given to me by Mr. Stitt. And I'm going to ask a bunch of baseball questions today. So you baseball fans from a few years ago, be alert. Because, the Indians, for one team, and the Reds, they've had their share of mighty good players. Okay. So, let me start out here. Let me see. What Cleveland Indian was the only player to play all 162 games in a season without making an error? Can you answer that? What was his name? What Cleveland Indian played 162 games without making an error? In one season, that is. Okay. And his first initial is R. Okay, now, let me pick out another here. What Outland Trophy recipient was the first round draft choice of the Cincinnati Bengals in 1987? And put that in your pocket. What Outland Trophy recipient, I didn't know, I've never heard of an Outland Trophy, but who was the first recipient? And the first round draft choice of the Bengals back in 87. Got that? Okay, now I've got prizes today. I've got Little Caesars cards here. Let me see. $5. Yeah, all right. I haven't had a Little Caesars pizza and a million moons. But Little Caesar does well. His owner, who has passed away in the past year, was one of the greatest philanthropists Detroit ever had. Because now they have that Little Caesars arena, which I think replaced the other marina, or arena, that is, that was named after, a boxer? Okay, well, I got two Little Caesars, and I got zoo tickets. Boy, you say, is he ever going to get rid of all those zoo tickets? Well, he's going to try. I've got enough left here. Let's see, the zoo closes, or these are good until 05. That's January 05, 2020. All right, I got a bunch of them. Gee, gads. Okay. And I've also got that great tasting chocolate bean, but yet it's hardly a bean because when you get it down pretty far along, it's one of those, you don't crunch it. You don't end up with an esophagus full of little pieces. is it good. Made out of Sumatra coffee beans. Wow. And speaking of that, I've got a couple of mugs here from Jegs. And, 6-time world champion Jegs. And then, I've got a plastic and a stainless or steel-like or aluminum. And I got a cup holder and two great big T-shirts for an oversized individual. Okay, continuing on. In 1978, who became the first Reds shortstop in 65 years to top the 300 mark? That's 1978. Who was the first Reds shortstop in 65 years to top the 300 mark? Can you get that one? I don't see the phone lighting up at all. Where are the sports there? And I thought, if there are any sports fans listening, oh my goodness. Oh, and by the way, let me see the date here. January 14th, there'll be a free meal. In fact, the second Tuesday of each month at 5:15 at Trinity Baptist. I wonder how many they have attending that. I would think quite a few. So you can get, I think there was some place giving away Christmas dinners, right? But I can't just recall offhand. But Trinity Baptist will give you a free meal the second Tuesday of each month at 5:15. Yeah, that's nice. And although, it really is interesting, if you followed Facebook at all during the prior to and during Christmas, you found there are a lot of scams from people wanting help, for destitute cases. I got to have help. And there was a lot of that that's not true. And I've seen that over the years happen. I told the story a long time ago. I'll repeat it. A lady called me up once in desperation, said, "Mr. Evers, I have no coal, and I've got five people in my family, and they're freezing. I need some coal." Well, I put out a call and got them a ton of coal and pulled up to the residence, and this lady stepped out that had called me and put her hands on her hips and says, "Well, you're going to shovel it off." In other words, are you going to unload it for me? Well, but then I found out the same person had did this almost as a pro, wanting something And then not like she wanted somebody to help, you know, shovel it off the truck into her house. And but there were five people in her family. But actually, the quest of the matter was the fact she just wanted some free coal. Okay. But there's a lot that goes on every Christmas. The legendary Cy Young was a native of what community in Ohio? That's right, he was from Ohio, Cy Young. Now, what community claims Cy Young? Here's another. In 1978, who became the first Reds shortstop in 65 years to top the 300 mark? You sports fans? Okay. And his name is the same name. His last name is the same as a very prominent person in Marion. Yeah. Okay. I won't tell you who it was. You'd recognize right away. He was in the medical profession. At what age did tribesman Satchel Paige pitch his first major league game? Satchel Paige, yeah. He was from, played for a team in Ohio. What age was he to pitch his first complete major league game? Now, a lot of these people you'd be entirely familiar with if you are a sports fan. And I thought everybody in the audience was a sports fan. Maybe it's a football thing. Most everyone, you know, Ohio State football, that is the thing. Okay, on August the 7th, 1932, what major leaguer hit the first home run in Cleveland Stadium? 1932, he's up to bat. What was his name? Now, there was a famous movie star with his last name. Very famous. Kind of like a rural or a country type of comedy star. Who was he? But this one was an Indian outfielder. Okay, and another. What school won the 1985-86 men's basketball championship in the Ohio Athletic Conference? My son-in-law probably knows that one. He went to Otterbein. Oh, I just gave you the answer. It was Otterbein. Was the school that won the 85-86 men's basketball championship in the Ohio Athletic Conference. Write that down. Under what manager did the Reds go to the World Series four times in the 1970s? My daughter Kathy, if she's listening, knows right away. But she went to a lot of the Reds games at that time. What was his name? The manager of the Cincinnati Reds, who went to the World Series with them in the 1970s. And I went to one of those World Series games, if not the World Series final game. I remember seeing the trophy in Pittsburgh. I can still, you know, the trophy was in a glass encased booth. The same trophy you see every year, or one just like it. Okay. Sports fans, here we go. two-time Heisman Trophy winner Archie Griffin. In how many Rose Bowl games did Archie Griffin participate? You all know that. Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. Well, we came close to having one this year. Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go right ahead.
Yeah, are you looking for Sparky Anderson?
Yes, it was Sparky Anderson. Yeah.
All right, caller.
Okay, bye. Thanks. Sparky Anderson, yep. He was a good guy. Okay, now, what social organization for men over age 70 was founded by Dr. Leroy Pence in Lima in 1931? I wonder if he's in relation to the vice president, or was. Dr. Leroy Pence founded an organization that I'm sure you wouldn't know. But if you do, give me a buzz. Let me see. What else? What uniforms of former Cleveland Indians have been retired? What uniforms of what former Cleveland Indians have been retired? Now, there's a good one. You want to know? Well, yeah, that's my question. What uniforms of former Cleveland Indians have been retired? Yeah, I remember two of them quite well. I'll give you those and see if you know the other. Lou Boudreau was number 5. Bob Feller, remember Bob Feller? Number 19? Oh, boy. But there was one other. His first initials were E. Now, who was he? They retired his uniform. Not that it was dirty.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black lab.
No, golden retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. In between everything, there was a call that came in, so call me back. Or call me anything. But call me back. Okay. 740, I never did give you our phone number, but it's been about a million times every day. But, hey, I was talking to someone complaining about how many times we give our call letters and our location on the dial. That is nothing compared to one of the most famous radio stations in the country. WSM in Nashville, Tennessee, after every single record, they say this is WSM, your legendary station. A lot of times they include the legendary with that. But yes, after every record, they announce WSM, and do you know, any of you know what WSM stands for? Yeah, that'd be if you can answer that, I'll give you a prize. Okay. So now, the uniforms of Lou Boudreau and Bob Feller have been retired. Boudreau number 5, Bob Feller number 19. But there was another one. His first name was Earl. Now, can you give me his last name? They retired his number 3. All right. Let me see what else happened I asked you today. Oh, boy. Let me see. I might have to turn the page. At what age did tribesmen Satchel Paige pitch his first major league game? Yeah. At what age? You wouldn't believe this, how old he was. Really, a good old Satch. Okay, and let me see. What outland? I asked you that. Here we go, okay. All right, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, that Earl Averill.
Yes, yeah.
Earl Averill.
Yes.
Yes.
Number three. All right.
Yep.
Hey, you're good. You want a prize?
What do you got?
I got $5 gifts for Little Caesar's Pizza.
I'll take that.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, just a second here. Let me write down your name. Okay, go ahead. What's your name?
Larry. Larry. Larry, yes. We brought you some candy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, we brought you some fudge candy, the peanut butter candy.
Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, now give me your name one more time.
Larry.
Is that Harry?
Larry. L-A-R-R-Y.
Right, Larry. Okay. Okay, good enough, Larry. And we're open. We're open today till about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
See
hey,
ya.
Charlie,
okay.
How many jobs have you had in your life?
How many? Well, let me see.
I bet you've had a lot because I hear you talk. You one thing about you, you wasn't afraid to do anything, were you?
That's right. My first job, and I wasn't paid for it. I mixed cement for a friend. And we went around building buildings while old Evers mixed the cement free of charge. And often I go through Bucyrus and look to see if that building's still standing. Yes, it is. Okay, that was my first venture. And then...
Well, I'll bet you if you sat down and named all the jobs you did, I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? That man did everything. He's tried. He wasn't a problem with Madonna. He went out there and did things.
Yeah, right. And, you know, one of the most tedious jobs I ever had, I was hired by the Gledhill and Kime Lumber Company to put a blank stamp on their calendar because Gledhill and Kime became the Kime Lumber Company and wanted Gledhill taken off the calendars they just purchased. And there were hundreds of them. And there I am as a young, I wasn't even a teenager, stamping each page of every calendar. Oh, I'll never forget that one. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for your call.
Hey, Charlie, I like to listen to you. You're interesting as heck.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, bye. Okay. Yeah, life has been interesting, really. You know, also, while I was making... cement free of charge, I was riding with a grain grinder and going around the farms in Crawford County and then every 2 weeks to Huron County up around the Norwalk area, and I shoveled out corn cribs into the machine. It was a truck mounted grinder, and I can still smell the corn being ground. And then if the farmer needed a supplement, why, we carried bags, 50-pound bags of, maybe 100-pound bags of supplement, depending on what he needed mixed in with his feed. So that was another job I had that paid nothing. But at least I got my meals free on all these jobs. Oh, my. Yep. Fun. I can remember, though, in Norwalk, I ground the grain for a man who had a farm. His name, first name was Otto. What? I can't remember. But there was a famous baseball player, I thought, with the last name Otto. And I don't know if that was him that had the farm or not. But I know every time I scooped up a shovel full of corn, two or three rats jumped out. I don't know how many rats we ground up, but every time we pulled into a farmer's barnyard, I would look at the corn crib and say to myself, oh no, this is going to take all day. But I did the shoveling, yeah. And then I told this story quite a few times. To get the supplement that we put in with the corn, we had to stop in Monroeville, Ohio. That's north of Milan. And we stopped in the mill there and bought bags of supplement. And I'm an anise lover. I love anise. Anise licorice, you know, springerly cookies and the like. And so I'm in there, and I smell anise. And so I walk over to an open sack of anise that people bought, you know, and mixed with their feed. And I was thrilled to death. Here is a whole big 100-pound bag of anise. So I scooped up a handful and ate it. Can you imagine? And the lady that ran the mill, she come up and said, "Boy, if I were you, I'd tie my pant legs together." I'll never forget that. And on my bicycle across Ohio, years ago, on my bike across Ohio, we stopped at one point. We were going from west to east, and we stopped at that mill, and I renewed old acquaintance. Oh, my goodness. But most of the original people were gone. Okay, now, continuing on. That was just part of my growing up years. The fun part was discovering Johnny Appleseed's orchard. Now, it was long said that Johnny Appleseed planted apple trees, you know, east of Bucyrus by the livestock place. And so I used to export, we called it Lizzie's Bottom. It belonged at that time to Elizabeth McCracken. And the land... land like that down in a river bottom, you just automatically said it's a bottom land or Lizzie's Bottom. And there stood three rows of Johnny Appleseed trees in the middle of nowhere, you might say. And also there was a spring flowing, and years later, what was his name? The ornithologist at OSUM. I told him about how many different types of birds are down in that bottom land. And he said, "Well, let's go see." And I said, "By the way, there's a spring that when I was a kid flowed all winter long and kept the grass green." So, oh boy, hey, that's great. So we went there, and sure enough, there's my spring flowing yet, after years and years of time. And today it is still flowing. So that's quite a spring. That spring never got sprung. I got a cough this morning, man. Just a second, I'm going to take a swig of water. Where does swig come from? My wife kids me. I often tell her, "Draw me a glass of water." And she said, "Draw you a glass of water?" Well, that's what it used to be called when you needed the water out of the drought, out of a well. You had to draw the water by pumping the pump. Just singing. Oh, that was good. Okay. So, now down in Lizzie's Bottom, where the spring flowed all year long, there was a group of bums, or hobos, as we called them. Oh, here's a caller. Just a second. Hang on. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, I didn't hear you. What spring was you talking about? I was out of the room.
Oh, it was a spring down in Lizzie's Bottom, which would have been in Bucyrus, east of Producer's Livestock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know that one down on Boundary Road?
Yes, Boundary, time. Yes. Is it still flowing?
Yes, the last time I was down there it was. I was down there one time. Me and my buddy, we took a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And we took 55-gallon drums of barrels, plastic barrels.
Yeah.
And I had 2 5-gallon buckets. Well, I had four of them, actually. And we were filling them up from that spring. Every 17 seconds, I had 5 gallons of water in the bucket.
Isn't that something?
And we poured it in the, I had it to my buddy, and he dumped it in the barrel. Then I brought it back to Marion and used it on my garden.
Yeah, well, that's good, other than drinking it.
Well, people stop, the road guys stop and drink the water. It's okay.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, a guy come down there, too. He was doing that. A guy come down and said, how you guys doing? He said, well, we're doing good. One thing led another, and I said, I suppose it's okay to get water here, ain't it? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I didn't see any signs or anything because, you know, I never know.
Right, yeah.
Well, he said, no. He said, I live up there in that blue house. There was a blue house up there on the road right there on the corner. And he said, yeah. He said, there's a big lagoon that goes through there.
Oh.
And he told me the story. He said, it's pretty wide. There's a vast water.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. That was his. He owned that.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was his property. And he was selling it in at that time up on the corner there with a bunch of stones that people was bringing him stone and stuff, and he was bringing that up high, filling it in. I've never been back to see how that come out.
Oh, yeah, maybe somebody knows.
He had a blue house up at the time, a bungalow lot.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out for you.
But, you know, there's about four springs around Marion.
Yes, and one of them was up there on Jacob's Well. And that wasn't a well they dug.
What's the best part about
spring.
Being so well-known?
Okay. Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a half million autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Is it my caller? Are you still there? No, I guess he hung up. Okay, but that's interesting. I would like to find out if that spring is still flowing on Boundary Road. I've heard about it for years, and I think I stopped there once on that bicycle. I'm not sure. And
from a listener on Christmas Eve.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Original deluxe fruitcake. Oh, my goodness. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Scott just handed me a fruitcake from, oh, my goodness. Collins Street Bakery of Corsicana, Texas. Wow, isn't that super? Oh, my. I'm going to open up. It's never been opened, you see. It's in a cardboard box. And by George, if I get a can opener, any kind of thing to open this up, it sounds like this would be a very good fruitcake. Wow. Okay, well, I might have to get to this after I'm off the air. Yeah, it shows a horse running here and... Total fat, 5 grams is all, and saturated fat, 4 grams, sodium, 40 milligrams, that's not bad. Yeah, that's good for me, sodium, just 40 milligrams, cholesterol, 14%, dietary fiber, 11%, sugar is 15 grams, okay, oh boy, that's heavy, too. Refrigerate after opening. Okay, well, maybe I better take it home and open it then. All right. My listener, I want to thank you very much. I don't see a name on here, but I certainly do appreciate it. Wow. Hey, that's good. Reminds me of the good old days. Well, let's go back to springs. The spring on Boundary Road, if anybody knows if it's still flowing, give me a buzz, 7403-39944. But now going back to, of course, I mentioned Johnny Appleseed's trees. Now, how do I know they were Johnny Appleseed's? Well, they were documented in the history books of the Bucyrus area that Johnny Appleseed planted apple trees right in that location. And when I found them, they were old and gnarly, like some of us. But so I took a doctor, the ornithologist at Ohio State University, he and his wife, and we waded the river and got across. We had to go through the golf course in Bucyrus, cross the river, and sure enough, there the spring is flowing, and there is Johnny App. Well, Johnny Apple's trees were long gone, of course. Okay, now, there was another spring in Bucyrus, and if you took away Arby's, you would uncover that spring. Now, there was a spring on the hillside right there. It was Dr. Arnold's property. Doc Arnold wrote a history book on Bucyrus, incidentally. And right there on his west south side of his property was a flowing spring, and it was surrounded by stone. In other words, it was encased in a decorative stone backdrop. Of course, it's long gone, and you can where that spring was, you can now get an Arby's. What do they call them? The new Arby's sandwich. The spring is no longer there. But here's another thing, too, about that area. I was told as a kid there's gold in them thar hills. And actually, that is the old bank of the Sandusky River through there. And yes, different people in digging basements uncovered tiny little flecks of gold. Not very much, but just enough to say there's gold in them and their hills. Well, I keep thinking it'd be fun to go back there and do some mining. I would like to go to a small stream, too, that flows and do some dipping to see if I can find any gold. You know, gold is all over the place. And what I have never found out yet is, how is gold produced? What is the basis for gold? And we know why it's so expensive, because you can't find it very easily. But what is gold consisted of? Now, we know it's not a alloy. It's a pure thing. And if you turn to channel 10.5, you'll see the gold miners working. And see the gold in pans. Oh, my goodness. Yep, gold mining has been a thing. In fact, I have a letter from my wife's great-great-grandfather, a letter describing his journey in 1849 to California to make it rich. And I think all told, he collected about $340 worth of gold and sent a check back for that amount. Whether he never collected any more than that, I don't know. But he came back to Ohio because it was unfriendly country, for one thing. On his way out with a buddy of his, the Indians stole their oxen. They had, you know, covered wagons used to be pulled by oxen. And that's a male cow, you might say. And with the Indians, one night when they were sleeping, took their oxen away, and then they had no way of transportation. But I've got all this in an original letter. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. Now, how much time have I wasted here? 10:52 is the time. And if anyone knows if the spring is still running on Boundary Road or know of any other spring. Now, you should never drink spring water unless it's been tested. because you don't know from whence that spring water flows. It might flow near some pollution. You just never know. Okay, now let me see. find another question here in the sports world. Here, I thought everybody out there was a sportsman, but that's not true. Okay. The Cleveland Indians closed the 1991 season with what batting average? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the Cleveland Indians ended the 1991 season with what batting average? Okay, what else do I have? Oh, here's a, what Cincinnati Reds pitcher pitched a no-hitter against St. Louis on June 16, 1978? Now, there was a guy by the name of Seaver who was an announcer on WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana. His name was not Tom Seaver, but his last name was Seaver. That reminds me. How many of you used to listen to WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Was it Fort Wayne, Indiana? It was one of the most popular stations around. I can remember because I used to listen to it on my way to work at MRN. Yeah. What was Seaver's last name? But they were famous for their weather forecaster who did his forecasting from the fire escape on the outside of their building. Can you remember? WOWO, Fort Wayne, and I tell you, it was so popular. We were camping in Canada, way up hundreds of miles north in Canada, about 300 miles south of James Bay. And what station do I get on the dial? WOWO. Boy. Okay, does that ring a bell with any of you? Do any of you remember growing up listening to WOWO? How many of you grew up listening to CKLW in Windsor, Ontario? Now, there's still more than one station in Windsor, Ontario, and they play old-time music interspersed with more modern rock. I can't remember their call there. They're not too powerful. Okay, but there was another station then in Windsor, Ontario, whose call letter, no, they competed with a station in a town on the tip of South America where I've been called Curacao. And just off the coast there of South America is this little town of Curacao, and they advertise it as a beautiful Holland type of city, originated in like Hollandese. And you get there, and the pictures do not show the rest of it. Anyhow, now what was I going? Oh, what was I saying about Curacao? Anyhow, what was I? That's me. But in Curacao, I saw them bringing in fish overnight from South America. And great big fish, boy. And they were cutting them up and selling them right off the dock to the natives. And Curacao, too, they sell beer to kids on the street. They have a street concession. And kids, 10, 12, 13 years old, walk up and buy beer and walk away. Beer with the name Amstel, A-M-S-T-E-L, which is a Dutch beer. That's a Dutch settlement, Curacao. And so it goes. And that town has the strangest method of transportation. When you get off your the ship that you arrived on, you go down the street and you see this long floating barge like, and you think to yourself, I wonder what that's used for. And finally someone said, if you want to go downtown, hop aboard, just $5, or whatever it was, you know. Well, we hopped on board, and it swung around. It was like a floating bridge, only it stayed normally alongside the bank. And when you paid to get on it, they started up the engines, and this barge-like thing turned around and connected with downtown Curacao. And you got off and did your shopping and returned the same way. You know, a lot of interesting things in life. Not everything has to be rich and glitzy, but there are some, you know, small things like the old spring in Bucyrus where the Arby's is. Arby's, incidentally, is located in Bucyrus where Johnny Appleseed preached as a younger man. He did. He stood right there on the hill, Plymouth and Sandusky. It was called Finley Hill, F-I-N-L-E-Y, named after a Methodist minister. But Johnny Appleseed would stand there preaching. He was kind of a different person altogether, but a lot of people enjoyed Johnny Appleseed. And what he did, his favorite occupation was selling apple seeds.
You're listening
okay, we'll
to
be back.
WGH
Stay there.
Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just said my prayer to the real God. I said, hey man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not one of them. I said, if you need some help, if you're tired, you need 12 black folks naked, I'll put them on a piece. If you need something close to the house, I'll give you that too. And then I looked at my body and I said, cancer, I ain't never bothered you.